Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now from the University of Miami, the Hurricanes head football coach, new head football coach, I should say, Manny Diaz. Manny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We are fantastic. I don't know if you can't see us, obviously, because we're on TV as well as radio. You're just on the phone. But we have turnover chains sitting in front of us.
Oh, I'm putting mine on because we got Manny here. The chain's going on.
We got to get to the story, you know, because I heard from a little birdie. That would be Ron Berkowitz sitting next to me. That you're the one that came up with this idea with the turnover chain. But before we get to it, the journey to the head coaching position at the University of Miami was very interesting. And I want you to tell us how it happened. Obviously, 3 years as a defensive coordinator under Mark Richt. You take a job at Temple, and then Richt abruptly retires. What was that, I don't know, frenetic few, I guess, weeks like for you?
Well, it was crazy. You know, I was named head coach at Temple in mid-December, which was an amazing opportunity. And... you know, one thing I felt that was very important to me was to come back to Miami to coach the bowl game. I just felt like I owed it to the kids. We had a really special defense a year ago. So after I got the Temple job and I finished up through signing day with them, I went back to Miami and coached the team in the bowl game. So I was back down in Miami the weekend after our bowl, and I was going to go back up to Philadelphia with the new staff after the new year. And in fact, this was a Sunday, December 30th. I had flown a coaching candidate down to Miami to interview for the offense coordinator job at Temple. And while I was in that interview, you know, my phone was buzzing, but I really wasn't paying attention to it. And all of a sudden I got a text message from my wife saying, you need to call me right away. So I excused myself. I thought something had gone wrong with my family. So I go around the corner, I call her, and I'm expecting, you know, some sort of crisis. And she says, in a very calm voice, she says, Mark Richt retired. And that was, like, the room started spinning, as you can imagine, because you start thinking of all kinds of things. I mean, one, you think about Mark because Mark's a friend of mine and what would bring him to that decision. And then you think about Temple because, you know, head coaching jobs are very hard to get. They're certainly hard to get for defensive coaches a lot of times. And I was, for sure and will always be indebted to them for choosing me to lead their program. And then you think about Miami and would you have a chance of getting that job? Because, you know, this is a very special place to me. This is where I grew up. This is my home. And that was probably all around 12:30 in the afternoon. And what's insane is by about 6:30 that night, you know, in essence, the beginnings of the deal were in place for me to be the next head coach at Miami. So it was a 6 hours like I've never experienced before, for sure.
Well, listen, Manny, I could tell you this. For all of Hurricane Nation, we were thrilled that night. I remember sitting, I was in Boca, and I remember following Twitter and figuring out, like, what is, you know, and I know Blake pretty well, and I'm like, what is Blake going to do? And he pulled this, and Manny made it happen, and we're thrilled. That's why I'm wearing my chain. See, Teek, you don't need to wear it, but here's what's going to happen. You are going to wear it after Miami Beach, Virginia, Friday, October 11th, which I know you're coming down to the game with me, and we're gonna have some sort of nice bet there. But Manny, let's talk about practice. Obviously, you guys are in it now. It's August 1st, and we could actually say there's a game this month. You guys kick off the 150th anniversary of college football against the Florida Gators. You've been in practice now almost a week. I believe you started last Friday. Where are we? What are we looking at? How does it feel? We'll go down the other questions about the quarterback and all that stuff. But just your first week as the head man, how do you feel?
Well, it's been remarkable. I don't know if I've ever at any point in my career already have practiced six times before the calendar hit August. But we're 6 days in. Today's a day off from practice. We just have meetings today. I love the energy and the competitiveness that our team has shown. That's really been our major point of emphasis this entire offseason. So I don't think that we were a team that always competed week in and week out a year ago, and we're trying to, you know, sort of rebrand ourselves and in a way rebrand ourselves with what has always won at Miami here in the past. I mean, there was, you know, I'm very fortunate. I don't have to come in and sort of invent something. There has been a you know, sort of a playbook left wide open here at the school of how they've had success in the past, whether it goes into recruiting, whether it goes into the way that they practice, the way that they run in the off season, the way that they lift. And it's our job as a coaching staff just to hold our players accountable and see what we've got. You know, I want to see what we have in our locker room and just play to the potential of what we have. Because I suspect that there's a little more meat on the bone than maybe what we showed a year ago.
Yeah, no, I think there definitely, especially on the offensive side. We're talking to Miami Hurricanes head football coach Manny Diaz, and your defense was great last year. It's why the turnover chain became so popular and everyone really across the country started copying you on it. Four, I think, ranked in total defense at the season's end. But offensively, left a little bit to be desired. Now, we know how the transfer market works in college football, and you got one of these kids in Tate Martell. How does he look, and is he going to win the starting job?
Well, Tate's had a really good first week of camp, which is good news for us. The other bit of good news is so is Nikosi Perry and Jaron Williams. We've got three guys that are really competing at a high level. Probably the best recruit we signed this entire offseason was Dan Enos, you know, who came to Miami from Alabama to be our offensive coordinator. And I just get to see him work with those quarterbacks every day and just to watch their development and just to watch the way that he coaches them and to put them in an offense where there's always an answer, you know, where as long as they can figure out where the answer is, that, you know, really no matter what the defense calls, that there's always an outlet. And you know, so really it's been fun watching those guys get more and more comfortable in the system and going out there and making strides. We got a good old-fashioned QB competition. We'll have our – we'll scrimmage the next two weekends, and that's really how we'll have to make our main assessment on who is going to be the guy.
And you know what? It's refreshing here because I could tell you just in following the team, you know, and you know, I know Manny a little bit. We've met a couple of times. But Manny, what you don't know is I'm psychotic when it comes to the Canes, as most Cane fans are. But, you know, that competition wasn't there in the quarterback spot for years. I mean, I can't even tell you the last time it was there. So it's refreshing to hear. Manny, when do you start looking at the Florida Gators? It's such a big, big rivalry. It's a shame it's not played every year for both fan bases. But do you start that, you know, did that start January 1?
We were in Hoboken today. We saw like a sign. Yeah. Miami, Florida.
Yeah. When the game was scheduled, I mean, we started working on them, you know, which because we understand that, and that's normally what you're going to do with your first three opponents of the year anyway. You're going to spend a lot of time in the offseason working on them. So, yes, I mean, I'm sure they've done the same. And, you know, in the offseason when you have quiet moments, you can sit there and put some game plan thoughts together. But I would imagine the same thing is true up there. That is, I know for a fact is true here in Coral Gables, that we're really, really, really focusing on Miami and trying to get our guys as competitive and as tough-minded and resilient as they can be. I know a lot of that sounds like coach talk, but it's still true. And, you know, it's going to be a great rivalry game. Of course, it's going to be a wild setting in the stadium with both fan bases equally represented. And so it's going to be a very emotional night. And, you know, a lot of times those games are really, you know, these early season neutral site games, a lot of times are won by the team that doesn't flinch. Because both, you know, I would suspect both sides are going to land some blows, you know, when you know, you got to be able to deliver a blow and you got to be able to take a blow because it's going to be a little bit of back and forth. These are two really, really good teams, a lot of kids that know each other from, you know, growing up and from high school. And so there's going to be a lot of emotion. But after the emotion calms down, it's going to be, you know, who can sort of focus on the task at hand and usually just do the simple things really well.
Yeah, that's what good old rivalries are made of. And Florida-Miami used to be a great one. We're talking to Manny Diaz, Miami Hurricanes head football coach.
Manny, back on Florida for a second, which I'm hearing and I'm sure is true, Miami is traveling big to this game, which, you know, it's a neutral site game, Orlando. We'll call it, you know, I'll give you the air quotes, neutral site. I mean, mm-hmm. Orlando is in spitting distance to Gainesville. But the one knock against Miami has always been fans don't travel, they don't bring it. Over the last couple of years, they really have. And from what I understand, this is going to be no different. So, like you said, everyone's real excited about it. But for you, I think that you're right. The toughest job, right, has to be how do you get those kids not just thinking about Florida, but, you know, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Virginia. I mean, listen, Virginia, as Tiki and I were talking earlier, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people have them as a favorite.
The media voted them as a favorite in the ACC. So, you know, I'm circling that game because of my friend. But I'm, you know, I you know, and the Florida game has a little bit less meaning in that side, because you could still, you know, we're not going to, but if you lost that game, you could still win the division, run the table, and go to and get to your goal, which is the championship game in Charlotte.
Correct. Yeah, and you're right about Virginia, and Bronco Mendenhall's done a great job, and they've gotten better and better every year as a program. But I know this. I know they're not handing out a national championship trophy after the Florida game, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to learn, and again, this goes back to the homage of the old Miami days, we're just learning how to compete.
Yeah.
And to bring it week in and week out. I'll give you a great example. Use Virginia, you know, as an example last year, where last year we go play Florida State and come back from 20 down in a very, you know, classic victory in a rivalry series, and we go to Virginia the following week, and full credit to Virginia, but we don't play very well and lose a close game up in Charlottesville. And, yeah. and to me, when you're at a place like Miami where the expectations are going to always be high, the players have to understand that what that means is that you've got to be consistently good every week.
Yeah.
That's what the great teams do. The great teams don't play great every week. The great teams play consistently good every week, because you're not going to play great every week. And so how do you do that? I mean, again, every coach would say that, who doesn't want to do that. That gets back to your work ethic. You know, that's the way that they've attacked every, you know, off-season program, and whether we started in January or February, this is the running in the summer when it's hot as blazes down here. And this is, you know, it's got to become a cultural thing. It's got to become a way of life. And I'm not going to pretend that we've snapped our fingers and we've rid ourselves of the disease we've had in the past. But at the same time, at least we've acknowledged it. And our guys understand. They understand what doesn't work, and so they have, you know, it's like the old adage goes: if you do the same thing, you should expect the same results. So
yeah.
they have brought it at a different level this year, and I think that will ultimately give them confidence to compete against really whoever we play. Because to be honest, it really doesn't matter who we play against. How we play usually dictates whether we win or lose.
Yeah, no, I was at that Virginia game, Coach, and it was ugly. It was, who wants to give it away, you know, worst? I mean, it was bad. But your defense played great, which brings me, because I think there was a lot of turnovers in that game. How did you come up with the turnover chain concept? Because, it's so unique, and something that I think Miami Hurricane fans and alumni and even the players really have a lot of pride in.
Well, we weren't the first to have a turnover prop. That was already coming around in college football. And in 2016, after our first year here, we were really good at a lot of things defensively. We were not good at creating turnovers in 2016 for whatever reason. So we decided, you know, let's get into the prop business, because that's kind of, you know, kids like that type of stuff. But it had to be uniquely Miami. We had to do something that was, you know, original in Miami. So we were sitting there brainstorming as a staff, and somebody in the room, I can't remember who it was, because most of our good ideas come as a staff, and you know, throughout, hey, how about a Cuban link? And half the guys in the room thought a Cuban link was like a spicy sausage or something like that, you know. And once we Googled what a Cuban link was and you saw the gold chain, you're like, oh, that is absolutely perfect. Now, we didn't realize the thing was going to be as enormous as it was and weigh like 8.5 pounds or whatever it weighed. I mean, we didn't see it until the first game in 2016. Now, all we wanted was more turnovers. We were not trying to create a cultural phenomenon, and we were not aware of the connection our fan base would have with the chain. We just wanted the ball more, and it was funny watching in that 2017 season, week in, week out, how it became, you know, I remember about a week about a month in the season, we were at Duke, and Clinton Portis and another couple of our ex-players were behind our bench, and they were wearing turnover chains. Like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then by 3 weeks after that, you see all kinds of people wearing chains. You got 96-year-old grandmothers and 4-year-old kids wearing chains, and it just became this thing that every week. And then at the same time, we were getting a lot more turnovers, and we ended up, I think, either number one in Power Five in turnovers or somewhere up there. So it kind of took on a life of its own.
That's pretty damn cool. I love it. Manny Diaz, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, joining us.
And, you know, it really hit a fever pitch, if you remember, back in November when Miami played Notre Dame, and it was the first time in, Manny, I know you could probably agree with this, but the first time I ever really felt like, you know what, I don't miss the Orange Bowl, because that stadium was insane, and it was nuts. But Manny, I've heard you talk, recently about something going on for the offense, so it's good if the turnover chain spurred the defense to all these tackles for losses and sacks and the energy. I can't wait to see what you guys are going to pull up for the offense. What I know you're not going to break it here, unfortunately. I wish you would. But what can I expect?
Yeah, I think we got a little something. You know, those guys, you know, they're all Hurricanes too, and you know, they like doing something. So it's got to be something. We've brainstormed a little bit something, and I think we'll have something for those guys to. But, you know, to your point also about Hard Rock Stadium, first of all, it's not the same place it was 3 years ago, the renovations that they've done. I know the Super Bowl is coming there this year. It is, to me, one of the premier stadiums in all of America.
100%.
But the other point is this, is that it's all, you know, like most things, it's about the people, right? You know, the people that filled the stadium. Number one, the people that were actually on the field when Miami won all those games in a row at the Orange Bowl. And trust me, you know, I was raised in the Orange Bowl. That place is like a religious experience for me. But those guys running around with the U's on the side of their helmet, they were a big part of the reason why Miami won all those games. And then the fan base, you know, when this city brings it, it's a very difficult place to play. And that's whether you're talking about the NBA Finals or the Heat, or even, you know, not very long ago when the Marlins were, you know, in the World Series. I mean, it's just, this has been a place, the Dolphins, you know, the famous game against the 85 Bears. I mean, this has been a place that is a very, very difficult place to come and play, especially at night. And those back-to-back nights in 17 against Virginia Tech and against Notre Dame showed everybody, you know, what this town is like when the Canes are rolling.
Well, come October 11th, which is also a night game, I'm going to be down there. I'm not going to be rooting for you, but I'll be down there. Coach, I appreciate you jumping on with us for a little bit. Me and Ron appreciate you. Good luck in your inaugural season down here at the University of Miami. And hopefully we'll get you back on again as the season gets underway, and hopefully you find that success. Appreciate you, Coach.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks. Good. Manny Diaz, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.